standing.
Love Talk Radio.
And I wanted to welcome everybody to the show and say hello, 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 good morning. So you may call into the show 505-602-9765 and cash up love offerings at $IMCC Coaching, $GondivaCoaching, $TeamWorldOnline, and $TalkRadioDiva with Talk Radio Diva, myself, the power to do more. So again, we're going to be talking about this part in this part two of yesterday's webinar, and that is the March Madness Understanding PTSD and Trauma. So again, welcome, welcome, welcome. So let's go ahead and get started. Where we left off at yesterday was the levels of what we call trauma symptoms. And part of this in trauma PTSD is understanding what it means to have different comorbidities and symptoms that happen from trauma or anything like what we were talking about yesterday, which is the nightmares, the flashbacks, recurring memories, distress and thoughts, and things like that, becoming stressed in physical ways, sweating, heart palpitations, and things like that, especially when you're experiencing re-triggering events from trauma PTSD. Now, we're going to do a quick once over about PTSD and the symptoms of it in the sense of we talked about yesterday about family history. We talked about environmental past traumatic experiences, poor coping skills, or things like drop stress, COVID, and things like that. You know, or if you end up doing things where you're ending up numbing yourself from dealing with trauma, PTSD, and other issues that can end up happening and whatnot that arrive with having those symptoms. So with that, a history of anxiety, depression, lack of support, or early childhood trauma, or history of abuse or abusive relationships, marital or non-marital, and whatnot and what have you, or dating. So when we talked about the different things for risk factors for PTSD, those cover that. And then demographics of that it can happen to anybody. And then we were also talking about experiencing repeated or indirect exposure to aversive or level of what we call scarcity mindset type triggering situations, environments, or at whatnot in relationships, professional or marital. So when we think about this, of course, a normal job duty, or we think about a police officer or EMS or something like that, or working child abuse cases, or first responders, or cleaning up the aftermath of car crashes or situations or events that can actually create trauma for you. So when we talk about all these different things, we talk about the levels of witnessing traumatic events or in person or being the actual victim of a traumatic event or indirect exposure to a trauma or event such as events that happen to a close loved one, friend or loved one or someone or event or violent nature or something like that. So those things cover that area and topic. So when we're talking about trauma, PTSD, and then we talk about levels and layers of other unnatural disasters such as kidnapping or sick attacks, which could be foreign or domestic, natural disaster, living in a war zone, or actually a war zone could be your own marriage and sleeping with the enemy. So it's kind of like, Adrian, you know, we think about that, or history of trauma and abuse, whether it's business or professional, workplace violence or things like that, or school-based violence, which is encompassing bullying or harassment, things like that, or even workplace bullying, harassment, or violent attacks or accidents and things like that in that nature, or near-death experiences. So we know that this is common with veterans, but also civilians can be struck with that, and I told you about that yesterday. So PTSD is not limited to a demographic, a single trauma, or not limited to a military veteran or non-military civilian, but it can happen to anyone, including children, young adults, and adolescents. So when you book your appointment with me and things like that, I want you guys to understand that so that you understand that it's okay to get help, especially it's okay when you're not feeling okay. So with that being said, you can call 833-IMCC, 833 for my appointment, 833 book me too. And I want you to make sure when you go to your appointment, you'll go to imcccoaching.com or GondivaCoaching.com for civilians, regular everybody, or IMers, imcccoaching.com, and TeamWorld.online for children, adolescents, young adults, or you can go to imcc.com, which is the actual one for specialty appointments that you can book specifically with me. But right now, I'm taking all appointments until my roster gets filled up. So again, a love offerings, you can call in live at 505-602-9765, cash app love offerings, $IMCC Coaching, $GondivaCoaching, $TeamWorldOnline, or $TalkRadioDiva, and you can subscribe at TalkRadioDiva.com. You can use the QR code and you can get it, and you can subscribe either once or you can do it multiple times in a month and things like that, or you can do a monthly donation. So again, I want to make sure that you guys are here with me and we're present and ready to learn. So with that being said, let's go. So again, this is CC, your life coach, your wellness coach, your health coach, your divorce coach, and I'm here to help. So when we talked about it yesterday, about experiencing flashbacks or things like that that can trigger you, and where people end up feeling like they don't want to go see a doctor, but they should. And what that means then, we're going to talk about re-experiencing it something, and it means that we're involuntarily reliving a traumatic event even after the event has passed, and then it can trigger trauma and PTSD or CPTSD, chronic PTSD symptoms. So I want to make sure that we're understanding PTSD so that people understand and begin to embrace different things, the mental health, behavioral health, and things like that. And we talked about all those different things yesterday. So we're not going to go over that and repeat it too much, too tough. But I wanted to go to the second part of this, which is where we get into the symptoms. We get into where we have nightmares, flashbacks, recurring memories, or distressing thoughts. And then on top of that, becoming stressed in physical ways, sweating, heart palpitations, or even having levels of body breakdown and deterioration. So that's where mental health, behavioral health comes into, and we talk about the stress that comes on to us. So let's go overlap about stress first, because I want you guys to understand what stress does to the body. Because with that being said, stress is something you do not want. Stress actually kills. And stress is something that every one of us goes through. But when you're talking about trauma, PTSD, and we're talking about what stress does to the body, and that it can actually literally affect you, you want to think about how does this affect me in the sense of I want to get better, how do I stress reduce and have stress-reducing activities. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about the levels of psychological stress. And then on top of that, what stress does to the body affecting behavioral health, mental health. And just one moment, I'll pull that for you so you guys can understand. Because when we think about the effects of stress on the body, we're thinking about levels and layers of what happens to the body. And when we talk about what happens to the body, we're talking about levels of primary response, secondary response to stress. And then when we think about trauma, PTSD, how that all works hand in hand. So when we're talking about all of this, we're talking about a level and layer of my body is stressed out. So when we think about all this, the primary stress, and we think about our liver, our kidneys, we think about our lungs, our muscles, and we think about all levels and depths of first primary response and secondary response, whereas your muscles can tense the readiness and action. We think about our lungs, the passage of airways, they dilate and constrict, and the breathing more intense and provide more of oxygen and blood supply. But when it's restricted, which is the parasympathetic nerve, sending signals to the body, that's when our body gets in fight, freeze and things like that. And staying stuck in flight, fright, freeze too many times can get your body haywire and it creates a primary response of stress and secondary response of stress, which can affect your liver, your sweat glands, your blood, and then your bladder and rectum, and then your digestive system. So when we're talking about the secondary response, we're talking about your muscles, we're talking about your liver, your lungs, but the secondary response is probably more worse than the first response. Because when you're thinking about this, we're thinking about the heart racing, high blood pressure can lead to strokes and heart attacks and things like that, things that we don't want to have. But when you have chronic PTSD, that's where your blood pressure vital signs are affected. So when you think about military veterans and combat stress, we have to think about those different things when they come back overseas and things like that. Or if they're fighting a domestic war, civilian war, and things like that, they may end up with a trauma PTSD and the primary response and secondary response systems, which we're talking about levels and layers of heart pounding, sending blood pressure around your hearing, sugar, and energy, and adrenaline, and things like that. So our adrenal glands are only made for instant getting out of a situation, which is fight, flight, freeze, stop. You know, so when we're talking about that level and layer of that echelon of that, we're talking about a layer of feeling some type of way when something happens or an event happens. So when we think about our hormones and our energy, we're thinking about sugar, and we're thinking about the way that our adrenaline pumps at the minute we have to go, boom, let's go. So when we think about our skin, it pales and our blood is divided into vital organs and things like that. So when we think about this on a secondary response, we're thinking about less blood rushing to your body and leading to developing disease and things like that. And then we're talking about the heart and the heart blood pressure, mind, and things like that. And it can become deteriorating. So then when you look at the warning signs of stress, and we're thinking about the early warning signs of trauma, PTSD, and we're thinking about the physical part of it. And when we think about physical, we're thinking about muscle tension. We're thinking about headaches, sleep disturbances, and things like that. We're thinking about rapid pulse. We're thinking about nausea, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, kind of like Pepto-Bismol commercial, except for without the pink stuff to make your stomach feel better. But you're thinking about the levels of rapid pulse, your indigestion, the nausea, the feeling sick all the time, increased sweating, flushing. And then your face feeling hot or prolonged sense of frequent headaches or susceptibility to mild headaches to migraine. And then on top of that, breathlessness, chest pain, or angina pectoris, or ongoing nausea, stomach, and issues with fitful sleep or frightful sleep, or not having a layer of comfortable sleep, and that becomes a level layer of causing oxygen deprivation and sleep apnea and other issues that can end up overlapping as comorbidities, having a prolonged stress or chronic PTSD. So when we think about the behavioral, we think about the appetite changes, we think about compulsive eating or not eating at all, or impatience or carelessness or hyperactivity or lowered activity, productivity or low energy, which is lethargy and things like that. We're thinking about avoidance of situations, people, places, and things. We're thinking about changing sleeping patterns or increased alcohol or cigarette or drug use if you use drugs. I don't use drugs or anything like that, and I don't drink alcohol. But I want you guys to understand that PTSD affects everybody different. Everybody has different coping mechanisms. I'm trying to teach you the perfect right way to treat that, which is going to the doctor, seeing LSW, MSW, PhD, MD, and PEA or something like that to get your diagnosis and things like that. But you see your life coach, your health coach, and things like that for interim gap or your therapist for that. So when we think about increased absenteeism and aggression or irritability and things like that, which is sometimes some people call it overreaction, or what we called yesterday the levels and layers of gross reaction and things like that when you don't mean to, the shit-set reactive obese syndrome, or what we call trauma PTSD, and reactive and gross reaction to something means there's a triggering effect or flashback or something like that. Then we're thinking about emotional, okay? So we're getting into emotional. We went from physical to behavioral, but we're talking about mental health, emotional health, anxiety, sadness, moodiness, grumpiness, loss of sense of humor, or withdrawal, feeling of isolation or isolating, self-voluntary, or low self-esteem or fatigue or level of feeling of guilt or shame, or extreme anger, which is where we talked about growth, a reaction in action. Then we're talking about overwhelming feelings and things like that and panic anxiety. So that's where your secondary disorders come from. And then we think about thoughts. We're thinking about rumination. We're thinking about flashback. We're thinking about the triggers. Reduced coordination and creativity or feelings of less creativity or feelings of hopelessness. And then we think about decisions muddled from making decisions that you need. Then we're thinking about negative levels of globalization of your environment and everything could go wrong or bad, or you end up having more bad days than good days. And then you think about the rushed decisions or oversensitive to criticism or people who are taught to shame or stop with blamers, or what we call pathological, insidious, abusive people who are not mindful of their behaviors that can trigger those levels of trauma and PTSD. So let's get back into the other part of that. And we need to be talking about stress-reducing activities in just a moment, but we're going to understand PTSD and trauma and things like that for civilians, military, and combat stress and things like that, and combat stress veterans for combat veterans. Okay. And like I told you guys, it's very important to learn these different things, because if you don't understand PTSD, then you're never going to get back to normal. And then on top of that, you have to get to a point that you understand that sometimes it's okay to get help. So when we think about nightmares, flashbacks, when we think about recurring memories, and we think about trauma, distressing thoughts, things like that, and we're thinking about re-experiencing and re-triggering of those events, and sometimes those events could have happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, up to 2 weeks ago to yesterday. So when we think about these things, we think about the words, location, objects, people, places, and things, or similar situations that can cause flashbacks. And here's the thing with flashbacks. That's the most troubling part about trauma and PTSD, or levels and depths of when you start having comorbidities and issues like that. So one of the intrusive symptoms of PTSD is flashbacks are often the most troubling thing, where flashbacks feel like they're actually reacting that. So when we talk about shell shock, we talked about that yesterday, or in a level of what Dr. David or Matthew told a professor of psychology, right? Researchers have found that most often flashbacks center around warning, watch out. So you're stuck in flight, fight, freeze, but you're stuck in that warning, red alert, hypervigilance, and hyperactivity. So when we think about this at the time of the trauma, and we think about when it occurred, when people haven't felt the first threat of danger. So anytime a person feels some danger, it's kind of like stranger danger, you're thinking about a level and depth of it. People who begin to look at the flashback part of it, and they're saying it's like it just occurred, or somebody's doing something that's triggering a level of anger and upset, and they're new or insidiously doing it. When you think about passive aggressive people, or pick-me-eaches, pick-me-patricks, even in a workplace environment, those type of people are the worst type to deal with. And you have to be careful in a workplace to be aware of people who have shell shock or PTSD and be mindful of that when you're at work and work environment. So we have to learn how to be better global citizens at work, hard for all of our veterans, non-veterans, civilians, or people who have dealt with traumatic events. And when they acclimate back to work, it's not easy for them. And remember that and be mindful of that. So when we think about causing harm and then to ourselves and we think about the feeling that's seriously threatened right now. That includes up to environment, poisonous environments, or what we call domestic terrorism, even if it's in your own home or with your spouse or with your family or anything like that, extended or things like that, or intimate. So when we talk about intimate partner violence and we talk about dating violence, that encompasses all of that. When we talk about other things that happen with PTSD trauma victims and things like that, or people who are survivors of combat stress or have gone to military tours of duty and then they end up coming back, debriefing and decompressing and ending up with some symptoms of their combat. So when we think about this, we think about a person who experiences a traumatic event. We think about they find themselves wanting to avoid a level of things that remind them of that event, including up to people sometimes. And then we think about they may also be afraid of doing something or going somewhere or to a original event of a place of where things have happened. So when we think about original traumatic events, we think about, hey, it could be somebody you dated. It could be somebody that you have met in your tour of duty, or you may have gone through events that were near death and you end up having trauma, PTSD, and events that have you triggered in flashback. When we think about this, it could be in the environment. Sometimes you can be in an environment where you feel like, I'm not capable of being able to operate in this environment because it's too poisonous, or it reminds me of a series of unfortunate events or deadly, deathly events or things like that. So for when we think about it, for instance, we think about when someone has a serious car accident or wants to avoid driving for a while or may have want to avoid driving or may be afraid to drive in a certain direction or area for circumstances of heavy traffic flow or things like that, or snowing roads where they might have had an accident, or someone that's had sexual abuse trauma or things like that, or what we call sodomy, rape, and things like that. That's happened to me. So, you know, it took a long time to get back into the saddle and get back to going and acclimating to getting back to normal and, you know, wanting to date. And still, that's one of the serious situations where you have to be careful with dating and not getting back into the same pattern of dating the same type of people that cause trauma, PTSD, or other such things that can actually affect you long term. So we think about that. And we think about you may want to avoid intimacy in the future and things like that, or have what they call either female erectile dysfunction or male, if you're male erectile dysfunction. It can happen to anybody. It happens to the best of us. So when we think about all the other symptoms of avoidance, include avoidance of thinking about or talking about the different things that are happening and having conversations that remind a person of a traumatic event. So, you know, sometimes when people say, I don't want to talk about it, that's where you're hearing that someone is avoiding having that conversation. And that's where you have to get into CBT or what they call DBT training and things like that, or what we call EMDR training. And then attempt to avoid closer relationships with a person that may lead to a detachment or estrangement syndrome, something like that. That does happen in trauma and PTSD or CPTSD patients. Because what happens is you tend to not want to be intimate with someone beyond the physical. You don't want to have anybody get close to you because you know that there's a reason for the trauma in the first place. And if it's sexual abuse or any type of level layer degradation events or things that have happened to you, or you were coerced into things that have been degrading or have kind of lowered your self-esteem or your self-feeling of your confidence, it can do something to you and you end up not wanting to have intimacy, or you begin to feel insecure whereas you might have felt confident before. So when we think about lack of interest in social events or activities or socializing with others, and so when we think about self-medication, we think about those that do pick up drugs, alcohol, and risky behavior. I don't do any of that. I've learned one thing about trauma PTSD. It is not good to go and get into drugs, alcohol, or risky behavior, because that is the worst way to numb yourself. We've talked about this in groups and things like that. And when you think about numbing yourself, we're talking about, like, there's one, for instance, a lady said, hey, you know, I have to deal with my husband every day, and I take Valium, and I take, you know, vodka or something like that. And we were like, don't do that. You can kill yourself doing that. And the person was like, I just don't want to deal with them, and I just numb out like this. And I was like, oh, my God. And all of us can understand or relate in some way of doing something that's risky or doing something that's not healthy otherwise, to where something can make you numb out from what you're dealing with so you can tune the person out, especially if you're currently with the person. And that is not something that I advise as a life coach, phone coach, health coach, divorce coach, and business coach as well, and brander. So when we think about all these things, we think about other layers of comorbidities or reactions to trauma PTSD. And that can end up in sexual hyperarousal or hyperarousal in the sense of being highly alert or hypervigilant and things like that. So, just one moment. Hyperarousal is something that is a symptom that makes someone with PTSD overreact or to their outside stimulus or stimuli. So when we're thinking about poisonous environment and we're talking about a level and depth of being traumatized in the same place and staying in the same place, now you know why some people move or victims move after they've been traumatized, because they cannot possibly heal in the same place they were traumatized, especially if it's their house or if it's an apartment or it's a person. So sometimes the relationships end because of that, because the person may be a triggering effect to the trauma. Or it can be a sensual level of the person creating triggering events or doing things to go and create a level of trauma flashback or hyperarousal, and that's where you have the narcissist who thinks you're crazy or nuts when you're actually reacting reasonably to insidious, abusive, antic. So when we think about all of that, we're thinking about levels and layers of how the body goes into high alert, thinking about a traumatic event, and then on top of that, may make a person feel like they're currently in danger. So that's where you get the hyperarousal and hypervigilant. It doesn't mean paranoia. It means having a level of hypervigilance, and hypervigilance will make you look like, okay, when somebody comes on, just kind of like, I'll give you an example. I'm on social media, having a lot of social media trolling, provoking, gaslighting, fake accounts, bots accounts that were coming after me. And it was a troll farm. It was constantly provoke, gaslight on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And I'm like, bro, like, how many times are you going to mess with somebody's email? How many times are you going to mess with somebody's social media? How many times are you going to mess with somebody's phone? How many times are you going to terrorize, provoke, and gaslight somebody on and offline where you can't get any peace? So we think about this. Does the feeling can result in a myriad of responses that are confused to friends and family and other loved ones, because sometimes they'll think you're nutty and cold turkey until you prove it. And you're like, hey, look, this is happening on a regular basis. I had somebody who got on my live and was like, you're being trolled every day. Why are you on here? I'm like, I'm on here to actually do business and network. Other people are on here to provoke gaslight, and they're doing it on behalf of an ex and his miserable, I'll say it in the nicest word, his human trampoline for penis. Mm-hmm. So when we think about that, when you have people who are stalking, provoking, and gaslighting, and you're building business and you're re-rolling it out, that can be one of those moments where you typically are like, beep, 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 you got me messed up, beep, beep, beep. You know, you're just sitting up there looking at yourself like, go off on this, not your character, but narcs, sociopaths, pathological abusers, provokers, picky issues, picky patchers are the type of people who like to pick till you go off on them. Then they're like, oh, they're not. And it's like, no, I'm not. I'm just sick of you. So when we think about all these different things, when we think about loved ones, we think about because loved ones aren't sharing the same feeling of danger, hyperarousal, hypervigilance, and things like that. And it can be scary and even frustrating to be someone responding to unseen trauma. So when you think about that, people get scared of you because somebody says, I'm scared of you. I'm like, for what? Because I'm nuclear upset over pathological insidious abuse online, offline, in the neighborhood, and everywhere I'm at, and I've got a home-based business, and I have to go through this morning, noon, and night. Excuse me? Do you know exactly what happened? So I had people actually go back through 2 years' worth of videos and lives, and they were like, yeah, he's been bullied and harassed on here. Like, how do you withstand it? I'm like, I reported the issue and I wrote it down. That's all I can do. I can only improve my argument by not yelling, beep, 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 you got me messed up, beep, beep, beep. To work in all language and all these different things, because it got me to the point I went to cutting people out and windmilling on the internet. I'm like, how many times am I going to windmill on the internet and it's affected my health? So when we think about the symptoms of hyperarousal, we're thinking about trouble sleeping, outbursts of anger, especially when you can't take it anymore, or irritability or ongoing anger because if it's prolonged, like it's been for me, 12 years of intimate partner violence, 10 years of growth levels of stalking, provoking, gaslighting, environmental terrorism, domestic terrorism, enablement of others to do their wrongdoing, and then you have to sit there, and you're like, beep, 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 and you have to windmill to people and tell them, look, bruh, I'm tired of you. Beep, 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 you got me messed up, you know, and it just goes round for round, round for round. After a while, when you're traumatized, you realize, okay, this is not healthy, and this is not the way to do things. I had to get to that point, but it was harmful and hurtful, and I went through a period of grief and things like that because that grief was so detrimental, so bad, and the anger was boiling. I mean, it was just like you could feel your blood boil for how mad I was, and I was like, the nerve of it all, the acidity and the shade of it all, you know, and you just get there and you're just like, ma'am, sir, what are you doing? You know, it's always something with these types. So when we think about all of this, and we're thinking about levels and layers of how far a person will take it, and you're thinking about the levels and layers of symptoms of arousal, and it can keep you from sleeping, outbursts of anger, or if you're online and then you got the troll farm and you got the whole pick me he shits, pick me bachelors, and then it's like, bro, when do you guys quit? I'm trying to re-roll out my business, and you're steady messing it up. Then I have a daughter to raise. I don't have time for all that kind of BS, but raising my child and being a mother. So think about this as a business owner, and then on top of that, a level layer of trying to get things done and doing all these webinars, and then having to deal with Pitney Patrick and Pitney Isha. I'm like, bro, can you go somewhere and go hide, please? And thank you. And don't come by. You know, and then we think about panic, and we think about anxiety. And then people who love to troll, provoke, gaslight, bully, harass, and things like that will cause a level layer of upset. And then that's reasonable, righteous upset, but is it right to do? Because eventually it affects your health. And I've been through that. So, like I told you guys, sometimes improving your argument thing and mastery of being calm and reducing the levels of chaos you feel at that time will reduce the hyper arousal. So I want you guys to understand that from my point of view and what I've been through. And then for those of you who come in my office and things like that, at IMCC Coaching, Don Diva Coaching, can go online, or you go on my talk radio and have to sit down and talk with me online when you call 505-602-9765 and things like that, when we have the power to do more to help you guys here on talk radio. So when we think about this and we're thinking about Don Diva Coaching and we're doing all these types of things with our webinar seminars with IMCC Coaching and Team World Online, I want you guys to understand and see how I do what I do. And then on top of that, feel comfortable with me as your life coach, your health coach, your wellness coach, your divorce coach, relationship coach, or business brander, small, medium, and large businesses, and mentor. So when we think about easily being startled and difficulty concentrating, we're thinking about the levels and depth of how your brain, you end up with bird brain itis, or what we call cryo brain. And it doesn't mean you're pregnant. It just means that your brain is malfunctioning. So when we think about this, it's when you have that begit, and you're like, you have a berserk, you have critter brain. So when you're sitting there sometimes forgetting where you even so much as put your teeth, you know, or you forget where, you know, certain things are at, or if you have a gaslighting jerk and people like that who are getting in your house, vandalizing yourself, then you have a different story. Not only are you dealing with brain damage, chronic brain damage, but you're dealing with levels and depths of technicia, Pitney Patrick, who are escalating levels of events, and then it's driving you up the wall. So when you think about gaslight, you think about the 1941 movie Gaslight, where the husband was making the wife go crazy because he kept on picking, provoking, and gaslighting her, and she thought she was nuts until she just started getting hold of herself. She's like, hold on, bro. Hold on. What's going on? You know, and you start thinking, I know where I put my stuff. I'm not crazy. And it's just like an example. One time I had my medications. They were sitting in a bag where I keep it, and my medications in another room that I didn't put them in. Then there's a time where my shower stuff was actually messed with, and it was cut, the bag. I'm like, I didn't do this. And it was multiple series of these events, and I realized, hey, somebody's doing this, you know? And it's like, hold on, my drawers are being missing, and I know the dryer didn't eat them. And, you know, you begin to start looking at your bra missing. You're looking at different things, duct tape missing out of your house. You know, basic things that you normally use for your stuff to box up things and do what you need to do for business, and all of a sudden your stuff is missing. You're just like, hold on, I know I'm not, no, you're a squirrel turd. Hold up. You know, and that moment that you realize you're being gaslit, provoked, or somebody's playing mind games, head games, or, you know, unlawfully using technology to abuse, doing things like router hacks, IP hacks, web application hacks on your phones, you know, logging you in and out of your stuff, like my Yahoo account, bro. I'm telling you, it happened. Like, how many times are you going to log me out of my Yahoo? And I know it never did this before. How many times are you going to go and send pin and unauthorized access to somebody's phone and play all these psychotic games? How many times are you going to sit there and play these type of psychotic games on my Apple iPhone? You know, it's just little things like that, or my Android. And it's like, bro, what's going on here? Whoa there. This is not supposed to be happening. So when we think about this, it ends up causing the hyperarousal, hypervigilance, and easily startled, or difficulty concentrating, or always being on guard from threats, hypervigilance, like, who sent you? You know? And I used to do that online because people ask me questions that they shouldn't really be asking. And it's like, okay, look, who sent you? Why are you asking me these personal questions beyond what normal people would ask? So that's when you know you're being stalked and harassed. We're asking wild questions. Do you ever think that you might die alone? No, I've never thought about that. Why would you ask me that kind of weird stuff? And even somebody else knows, so they're like, that's not normal. Or somebody's saying, oh, I'll have you touch, or I'll hurt your daughter. Or, you know, I'll have you set up with child pornography on your computer. I'm like, I don't watch that crap. And, you know, and it's like, where is this coming from? You know, or I'll poison your water, things that have been done to me. You know, I want you guys to understand that trauma sits there with you because it's like, is this person possibly going to succeed at this? You know, the kind of psychotic behavior that needs to be negated on the actual social media. And I've been through this for a number of years, almost a decade plus. And, you know, when we talk about overlapping crimes that change us, we talk about levels of trauma, PTSD, for near death, and car tampering, you know, home tampering, AC unit tampering, the things that I've survived. So I want you guys to understand the difficulties in that, and that's where hypervigilance and chronic levels of hyperarousal happen. Inability to tolerate loud noises, hypercoaches, which is hyperphagosis and things like that, where you literally don't want any loud noises because it causes shell shock. Just remember, like I told you guys about combat stress, where a person might not want to see a cattail or doesn't want to see certain things because they've been in landmines, and I have been around IEDs. I had a veteran that I dated for the longest on and off for 15 years, and that's the relationship that went sour. But he's a prime example of that he changed a lot after trauma and PTSD. And I will tell you, two tours of Iraq did it to him. And then he was trying to go to a third tour, and he couldn't go because they were like, you're not fit for duty, you can't do it. You know, and it was one of those things that he changed. And he ended up getting out of the military. And one of the things is he went from this sweet young man to this man I don't know anymore. And it just really did something to me because of the things that he did to me. But that's nor here nor there. I'm not trying to rehash those different things. But I've dated several different veterans and things like that. And I worked for the military hospital, like I told you guys yesterday, as a contractor. And when I tell you the level and depth of how important it is to keep confidentiality and things like that, that's the reason why I limit this stuff of what I said, because I don't want people to really delve into private matters of veterans and things like that, because I still keep the high integrity that I had before. So with that, I learned what it's like to have complex PTSD from dealing with levels and layers of trauma and events and series of unfortunate events that happened over a period of a decade and altered my mindset, altered me as a person. I'm no longer the woman I used to be, but I feel like I'm coming back better than ever and learning how to cope and learning how to get to a place to eventually heal, and then after healing begin to forgive. But right now that's not possible as far as forgiveness. And then as I had talked to specialists and things like that and also watched videos on this type of thing, I learned one thing. As they're going through my own process, each person's process is different, but it's definitely good to have med management in the beginning. And then on top of that, having a specialist, not just a basic psychiatry psychologist, until you've seen a specialist, then you may go see a regular psychologist and psychiatrist, but still have an overlapping gap of having these specialists overlapping, overseeing all of your psychiatric work and interventions and things like that, as well as having a life coach as your gap when you can't see your actual coach, not coach, but your actual psychiatrist, psychologist, and things like that. But your coach might become your psychiatrist, psychologist, especially if they're MD or a forensic psychiatrist or pathologist, things that I'll be doing here soon. So I want you guys to understand that I'm just a life coach at this point. I do not diagnose, although I'm capable of doing so. It's not legal to do as a life coach, health coach, and wellness coach. So remember, there are limits to my job as in the capacity and title that I have right now. So, inability to tolerate loud noises and psychosis and things like that. So, we're thinking about panic attacks, and we're thinking about anxiety, generalized or sometimes chronic anxiety, or risky or destructive behavior that some people engage in. But you have to learn how to reduce the risk and begin to not have destructive behaviors, or what we call sabotaging behaviors. And sometimes narcs will help you to self-sabotaging behaviors or deprecated levels of triggered sabotaging behaviors, which is reactive abuse syndrome. So when we think about negative alterations to cognition and mood, this is where we talk about med management and mood stabilization. And we think about all these different things that it can look like bipolar disorder or schizoaffective with schizophrenia when it's chronic PTSD or PTSD. And if you're not seen by a specialist, they will not be able to see it and treat you properly. You'll be getting fixed on the wrong medicines, and it can actually happen because it happened to me. I want you guys to understand that that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It altered my health, deteriorated my health in so many different ways. And so, like, the doctors realized, oh, she's got chronic PTSD. She's had PTSD because of sexual abuse and sodomy, rape, and things like that, and female genital mutilation and things like that. I woke up with cut wounds on my body that I didn't make. I'm not a cutter. So when that happened to me, it was the most frightening thing to have to deal with. She cuts all over my body. And then on top of that, calling the police and nothing was done at that point until the police realized that it was one of their own, one of my exes that's actually a fed and retired. And then the other one fed and he's retired. His dad is retired and things like that. And he's covering up things for his son. So it went to a level and layer, a depth of just craziness and just complete level of out of order BS, deadly homicidal behavior of things that were done to me. And it was a red flag behavior that I could have got killed. I could have got hurt. And then on top of that, the car tampering and then things like that. I told you about those events yesterday. So when we talk about another key symptom of PTSD. We're thinking about a negative outlook on self and the world around us, and that's where we're talking about emotional, and we're talking about behavioral, and we're talking about mental health. So when we talk about these and these feelings are newly formed, and then we begin to have the traumatic event, not typical to the person experiencing PTSD, but a person experiencing chronic PTSD and things like that, and overlapping with PTSD and the symptoms thereof, that negative feeling that may appear that are just as follows. Intense feelings of guilt and distorted sense of blame related to the trauma. And then you've got the narcs who will blame you for everything that happened, or what they call victim shame and victim blame, instead of actually taking accountability of their actions or detrimental actions or behaviors on and offline or in the environment that you have to live around. So when we think about these negative feelings, we think about ongoing negative feelings such as the levels of shame, anger, and sadness. But we have talked to people around you or people who don't understand chronic PTSD or PTSD symptoms. They will think you're the problem while the other person is creating the problem. Or if you're going through a level of trauma, combat stress from overseas or tours of duty, civilian and domestic, then you're talking about a level and layer. People don't understand what it's like to be in your body and be reminded of the things that you've gone through. And your body is not designed to cope with those type of things immediately. And so you learn coping mechanisms and have a higher resilience level. So we think about hopelessness and lowered interest in getting things done, or one used to enjoy. So when you think about detached and estrangement, we're thinking about detachment from your loved ones, not being wanting to be intimate, not wanting hugs, not wanting to be touched. We think about inability to experience joy or happiness because of the mind continues to think about that, and the body remembers, the mind remembers, and it continues to go on. So people suffering from PTSD may have feelings of worthlessness, or may have a feeling of deep shame or things that have happened. I went through that, and I will tell you one thing about it. It is okay to feel a certain way, but not for long, because not for nothing. When you think about how far things have gone or how things have went, or if you're being re-traumatized or re-infected psychologically, like online, offline, it makes the healing process harder. It makes the whole process harder. It makes the abundant universal levels of advancement harder, and what we call the abundance mindset harder to get past the scarcity of feeling hopeful, feeling like you have a level of unity, abundance, advancement, things that you should feel on a regular basis, or a level of feeling of light within you. Sometimes your light becomes more dimmer, and then you begin to look at the feelings of shame or the things that you may have done or things that you may have been made to do or have caused degrading levels or self-deprecation or self-esteem issues and things like that that you might not otherwise have had. So we think about the things that may interfere with your daily activity or forming or maintaining relationships with friends or family or intimate partners, or when you're dating and dealing with intimate partner violence, or what we call extreme psychological warfare and violence on your partner, the things that have happened to me. So we think about it, it can diminish your ability to pursue or gain full employment or advancement in career or ability to effectively maintain a good job. So we think about, according to Matthew Toll, maladaptive thoughts. What does that mean? Errors in thinking or rational or irrational thoughts, cognitive distortions that refer to unpleasant thoughts, feelings, and events. Then we think about that extremely exaggerated or not consistent level of feeling of happy. And then we think about what is actually going on in the real world, or we think about distortion, which is what we call cognitive dissonance. Your brain splits in two, the butterfly effect like this, and your brain is literally damaged. It's literally taking pictures of flashbacks of things that are happening instead of functioning like it's supposed to. So when we think about that, we think about, as a result, cognitive distortion, or what we call cognitive dissonance. We think about can be negative influence on our mood, how we conduct ourselves, and eventually lead to unhealthy behaviors or emotional response. And it's part of the reason of cognitive distortion or cognitive dissonance that happens, and consider a central part of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is called CBT. So we think about different types of PTSD. Although major symptoms of PTSD are similar across the board, there are different types of that. And when we think about what types of PTSD someone has, and their symptoms may or may not be severe or long-lasting, or may require different types of therapeutic treatment. So when we think about this, complex PTSD may have more of a familiar to common person, but is lesser known variation PTSD called complex PTSD. CPTSD is what it's called, or chronic. So when we think about the traditional form of PTSD that may emerge from a single traumatic event, and we think about traumatic events such as car accidents or health deterioration or levels of loss of identity from levels and layers of car accident or things that happen to your children, or, you know, a person who's went through a car crash may find themselves afraid of going and driving a car or may have other symptoms associated with what we call PTSD. So when we think about association and disassociation, we're thinking about CPTSD, on the other hand, is a result of repeated or ongoing events or continued chronic levels of infliction of emotional harm or detriment, things that I've gone on and with and multiple times and multiple events online, offline for the last 2 years, overlapping 4 years of punitive political abuse of psychiatry, psychology, and epic failures of psychiatrists and psychologists to do their job up until now. So when we think about this, you can be traumatized from having bad health care. So that's why I said nobody's mutually exclusive to having good health care, but you want to make sure that you have good health care in the sense of having a specialist at first and then working your way down to a regular psychiatrist, psychologist, or forensic psychiatrist, psychologist who will help you to understand and unpack that before you get to therapy and going to see your life coach as an entering gap to your therapy when you can't see your therapist. So let me take a breath. When we think about CPTSD and we think about it's more often associated with people who experience trauma in their childhood, we think about it affects the way a person develops since they're exposed to trauma. And then we think about the developmental time in their lifetime as a children, adolescents, young adult, and things like that. So again, you can call the number 833-IMCC, 833-4MyAppointment, John Viva Coaching, 833-BookMeToo, and that's Team Well for young adolescents, children, and young adults. You can go to imcccoaching.com to book your appointment, DionDivaCoaching.com to book your appointments, and then IMCC for your specialty appointments, and TeenWorld.online for children, adolescents, again, and young adults. Then we think about IMCC.com for your specialty appointment. So when we think about this, you want to make sure that you're calling and you're asking the pertinent questions that you need to so we can know what particular appointment slot to put you in. So, again, call in live 505-602-9765 or do your Cash App Love offering for these webinars and other series of events that are money sports. And that is $IMCC Coaching, $DonDivaCoaching, and $TeamWorldOnline, and then $TalkRadioDiva. If you want to put the love offering and what it's for, put it in the notes for your Talk Radio Diva donations. You can do it for once a month or you can do it for a one time only. So, again, with the power to do more, we'll be able to go and spread out our content and be able to do better presentations each time. So with that being said, we think about what we're exposed to in CPTSD, and we think about the experiencing trauma in childhood, and we think about as you grow up, it shapes the depth of perception of all that. So when we think about this, and we think about since we're exposed to trauma during a highly developmental time in our life, it can affect us as an adult. So just as children can be affected, adolescents, young adults can be affected too. So that's when we talk about Time's Up, Me Too. So when we think about this, the term is not in the DSM-5, but it is a term that mental health workers use. So when we think about mental health workers, what is that? We think about allied professionals. We think about life coaches. We think about health coaches. We think about therapists. We think about levels at MSWs, LSWs, people who are licensed to sit there and do the therapy and things like that. And then your insurance gap of a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, or business coach and things like that. So the DSM-5 and the mental health workers used to help describe the difference between someone who has experienced a single event and experienced chronic levels of events or series of unfortunate events, such as myself, who's dealt with that. So we think about especially in early childhood or growing up or when we think about getting into being a young adult. So symptoms of CPTSD are similar to PTSD, but they also carry a different additional behavioral differences and behavioral deterioration. So when we think about this, we think about Dr. Tracy Marr. She explains the CPTSD in this way. The early childhood trauma shapes your development and your personality. It's like you have a fractured self, like when you have a fracture in your bones and your body. And we think about levels of personality defects that end up happening because of that. It's not like a birth defect, but when you think about trauma, you think about how you fracture the brain. The brain is broken. The body is broken, and the body remembers, but the brain is limitation. So we think about this, checking a level and layer of how your body locks these events in. So we think about this, and we think a person who may be checking locks and having flashbacks and refusing to drive or jumping every time you hear a loud noise, precocious. So we think about this, CPTSD may be triggered. So we think about the poor self-esteem, anger problems, and mood stability or mood and what we call when you have to be on mood stabilizers and things like that to help me stabilize an unstable mood because of dealing with so many events back to back or people who love to trigger trauma. So we think about, she went on to say that a person with PTSD can develop depression or anxiety or secondary traumatic disorders and problems because of a series of unfortunate events or deadly events or things that have crossed the line. So we think about emotional disruption during the formative years and adult years and things like that in the structured level of chronic PTSD. And additional symptoms associated with PTSD are negative self-view, trouble controlling and regulating emotions, difficulty developing and maintaining relationships, including up to intimate partner and also dating relationships or marital, and feelings of distrust in general. And people with PTSD have a significant trust issue or trust factor barrier, and they don't trust everything or trust anyone at that point. Then we think about disassociative symptoms of disconnected thoughts, memories, actions, and identity problems and issues, and brain's defense mechanism that tries to escape reality and mentally cope with what's going on. Now you understand cognitive dissonance and the butterfly effect. And you think about developing alternative identities, and then we suffer from amnesia or what we call the brain fog. So people with disassociative syndrome may struggle with concentration and may disconnect from the world around them, and then you begin to see them come, duh, and the brain goes on vacation, and it's like, okay, I'm out. You can stay here, but I'm out. I need to be able to rest and get my mind to work. So when we think about this, therapy can help a person who's diagnosed with PTSD, and usually longer process takes more effect than a therapist, and a patient undergoes damage being done and figure out what to do and what is the best source of treatment. So we think about post-traumatic stress. We think about post-traumatic stress or PTS, or what we call not actually a type of PTSD, but can be a precursor for it. So you can actually remove a level of the PTSD before it gets to chronic if you can get the right therapist, right psychiatrist, psychologist, and then on top of that, a licensed MD who's in that specialty and who understands what needs to be done to catch the little flags that are being put out there. When we think about red flags, being married to a red flag or dating a red flag type of individual, they'll end up triggering you while you're trying to get help and healing, then you need to avoid that person, and that's a healthy avoidance and a healthy level of cutting them off. When we think about personal PTSD, we'll continue showing these symptoms for longer periods and in time of greater intensity until they end up psychologically breaking, which is where you have people who will try to psychologically break you, or you have to go to a point that you say, I'm not glad you break me, but I'm going to get the help that I need. So with that, we think about, according to Dr. James Bender, we think about the singers and things like that and how that came about. When we talk about those levels and layers of PTSD as well, as were unusual events like military combat or kidnapping or attempted murder or attempted homicide or car tampering and things like that that can cause that, or a serious situation for show at least signs of post-traumatic stress. But post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic, is really bad because it means it's a longer term and you're needing to get more intervention and help to balance out the symptoms so that you can get back to therapeutic. So we think about this. Dr. Bender went on to say that symptoms of PTS were subsided after a few days, but they won't interfere with a person's life so much as chronic PTSD and PTSD. So when we think about that, be careful in the future. And we think about, we won't want people to stop from what they're doing, but we want to reduce the risk and reduce the self-sabotaging behaviors or manufacture self-sabotage from being provoked, gaslit, and been on top of that tormented morning, noon, and night. So when we think about comorbidities of PTSD, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I just want to make sure this live was short, sweet, and to the point. So we've been on 48 minutes and 23 seconds, so I want to make sure that we do everything in a short manner. So I want to make sure that this live was short, sweet, and good. So if you need to call in, you can call in 505-602-9765. And then on top of that, Cash App love offerings for this webinar is $IMCC Coaching, $DonDivaCoaching, $TeamWorldOnline, and then Talk Radio Diva, $IN front. Then you Talk Radio Diva, me, CC, your life coach, your wellness coach, health coach, divorce coach, and relationship coach, and marital counselor, as well as business brander, mentor for small, mental, levels, and small, large businesses and things like that. So we have the power to do more. And then on top of that, I would like for you guys to go to teamworld.online for children, adolescents, young adults. Then you can go also to Donna Diva Coaching, IMCC Coaching, and IMCC.com for your specialty appointment. And again, this is Talk Radio Diva, with the power to do more. I'm going to take you guys out of here, and you guys have a nice day. Heart.